Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Ryan Hayes with Access Radio Live. Today is Thursday, October 29th. And it is close to, or this is the day where it's close to the Super 32 tournament, which is the toughest preseason tournament in the country. Very, very highly regarded tournament. So my guest today will be competing in this tournament. He placed second last year. Dayton Fix, two-time state champion out of Oklahoma, Charles Page High School. But before I get to that, we got to stay on air. That means I have to thank the sponsors. StreamSmart. Never pay for programming again. StreamSmart is a revolutionary device that allows you unlimited access to movies, TV shows, sports, pay-per-view events, music, and live streams, all in HD. Looking for a classic film or a movie that's currently in theaters? They're all available on your StreamSmart receiver. No more waiting for TV programs to show up on Netflix. Now you can get every episode of every show. No more paying for events like UFC, boxing, or WWE. Stream them all live in HD with StreamSmart. So you can cancel your NFL ticket, your Red Zone, your NBA League Pass, your MLB Baseball Network, and your NHL Center Ice. They're all free in HD from your StreamSmart receiver. StreamSmart, where smart people go for entertainment. Also, Quality Refrigeration Concepts. Quality Refrigeration is now QRC, specializing in HVAC now. Their mission is to perform for their customers the highest level of quality heating and air service at a fair market price, to ensure the longevity of their company through repeat referrals and business achieved by customer satisfaction. Call QRC at 336-788-5407. Your contact is Sean Eller. Give him a call. Garden of Life, empowering extraordinary health. Organic products, USDA organic proteins. Their mission is to empower. Their products are designed to let you take control of your own health. Extraordinary. They believe that in premium nutrition, it goes beyond the ordinary. Health. Your health is a gift, and extraordinary health is a goal worth pursuing for you and your family. Now, before I bring my guest on, you know, I always get emails real quick about stuff that's going on in current events. Well, I don't know if you all been looking at TV, so we all saw probably the video of the police officer that came into the classroom of a girl who was supposedly disrupting class. It doesn't make a deal to me whether the police officer was black or white, whether the girl was black or white. I saw the video, and did it look bad? Yes, but my thing is I wanted to know what happened before that. Now, I'm smart enough. I've coached wrestling in inner city schools. I've coached football in inner city schools. I've been in the classroom of inner city schools. So I'm smart enough to piece together what happened. So apparently this girl was using her cell phone in class. The teacher gave her multiple directives to put the cell phone up because she was disrupting class. She still wouldn't put the cell phone up. So therefore an administrator was called. The administrator basically warned her that if you don't put the cell phone up, that we're going to grab the school resource officer to come get you out of class. And the school resource officer came. I would assume that he just didn't go in there and just put hands on her, that he asked for her to leave the class. And when she didn't, that's when the altercation had arisen. Now, that being said, how hard is it to just put your cell phone up. And that's the problem. Like, she should, if she was so worried about what happened to her, if the country and this, whoever watches is worried about what happened to her, she should have just put her cell phone up. That's the problem that we have to worry about in inner city schools. And this is the reason why there's such a shortage on teachers. It's because of situations like this. The kids disrupting class. And she's hindering everybody else's chances of having a great education through her attitude and how she acted. She should have just simply put the phone up or gave the phone to the teacher. But yet she wants to disrupt class and make something that's so small into a big deal. And it didn't even need to go that way. To me, you know, we're talking about law enforcement. That's on a whole different level. To me, she deserved what she got. She should keep her mouth shut, and she should give her phone to the daggone teacher when a teacher asks him to do something. I get so tired, you know, of I'm a black person, so I'm getting so tired of black people always trying to pull the race card on everything when they don't sit back and look at the big picture. And you got to look at the big picture that maybe she would have just kept her mouth shut and done what the teacher said. She wouldn't have been worried about being put in that situation that she was in. And so, therefore, I have no sympathy for her or her family. And the problem is, the way she acted is a direct reflection on her family. Her family, whoever it was, you've done a horrible job raising her. That's just the bottom line. That goes back to how you raise your kid. And I don't want, you know, the problem is they want to throw up the excuse, she grew up in a bad neighborhood. I grew up in an inner city neighborhood. This is all I see. This is all I know. Well, guess what? That's how I grew up too. But I know right from wrong. And she should too. Stop using your upbringing as the reason as to why you do what you do and why you break the law, because that's no excuse. And I just get sick and tired of it, because the way they portray that stuff on the news, and it's all for ratings, is all to get you to watch it, and then you fall for it. And then you're out there protesting with Al Sharpton and Reverend Jesse Jackson, two of the most crookedest people in all of politics, and they're not out to help the advancement of colored people. They're just out to help themselves. So, you know, before I just keep going off in a litany and these diatribes, I'm just going to stop and get on with the show and get Dayton Fix on the line. So I just had to get that out of me. So that being said, we're going to start the show. Two-time Oklahoma State champion, Dayton Fix, number one ranked wrestler in the world, according to Flow Wrestling. Dayton, how you doing today, man? How you doing today, man?
I'm doing pretty well. How about you?
I am doing great, man. I forgot to take you off mute, but it's all good.
All right.
First question that I ask everybody is that how did you venture into the sport of wrestling? Tell me your background and how you got started.
Well, my family, on both sides of my family, my mom's side and my dad's side, both is wrestling on both sides. So I grew up around wrestling. And whenever I started, my dad was an official before I started wrestling. So whenever I was little, I'd go around and I'd watch all kinds of wrestling. And he ended up being a Division One national. He officiated Division One national tournament, so I got to watch a lot of great wrestling just growing up. And whenever I'd go with him to watch, he would. I'd ask him what to watch for, and he just said, "Just watch the people that got their hand raised and see what they do." So that's kind of how it started. I just started watching the people that won, and then finally I started. My dad didn't really push me to wrestle. He wanted me to. he wanted me to kind of beg him to start wrestling. So I didn't, growing up, I didn't wrestle when I was really young. So I just was in the practice room a lot. And then finally, like around fifth grade, I started actually competing in like elementary school tournaments. And that's kind of when I started. So fifth grade, right around there.
So when you started out, you kind of didn't start going to these like high level tournaments. Like, when did you start like competing in all these like high level tournaments?
Well, I wrestled fifth grade, and then I didn't really go. I just wrestled around the state. And in the summer after my sixth grade year, I went to the schoolboy national duel. So that was my first like national level tournament, like duel. So I got to wrestle a bunch of kids from out of the state. So I kind of jumped into it right after I started.
And some of the major tournaments, well, all of the tournaments you wrestle in basically are major. How do you handle the pressure?
I just look at pressure as something that you put on yourself. So if you don't feel like there's any pressure on you, you're just out there. I'm just out there doing what I love to do. I'm just out there wrestling, so I don't see why I should put any pressure on myself to win. If I lose, then I'm going to get better from it. So I just go out there and do my best.
Do you ever have I would probably venture to say that, you know, you probably lost it at because you started so early that you probably don't get it anymore, but do you ever have performance anxiety?
I mean, whenever I first started, my dad would tell me that if I got beat when I was young, he would say, whenever you wrestle as many matches as those guys wrestled, you'll beat them. So that was kind of how I looked at things when I was young. I just had to get more experience, and then I knew when I started wrestling more that I would beat those guys, and I finally caught up to them, and it was a great feeling whenever I did that.
Out of all the tournaments that you've wrestled, what's been your most memorable one?
Probably the 2014 Youth Olympic Games. It was in Nanjing, China, and I got to wrestle in the Youth Olympic Finals, and I ended up getting the silver medal. So it was an awesome experience just to be able to say I went to China and got to compete at one of the highest levels in wrestling.
Yeah, and that, of course, that's kind of like a world tournament, correct?
Yeah, that was a world tournament.
You know, and I forgot to mention that, like, there's something to be had when you place in a world tournament. And you know, that's a true placement. And I tell everybody, you know, like I a while back I had Spencer Lee on the show, and he had won a world title. I know you and him have competed, and we always get into the issue of like, what do you really consider a world tournament? Well, or a world champion? And you know, because I got into an argument, Dayton, and you'll probably love to hear this, is that we got on baseball and we were talking about how baseball plays for the World Series. And I was like, well, how do you call it some kind of world title when the baseball teams are just located in Canada and the United States, but everybody wants to call it a world title? And if you win an NBA title, everybody wants to call the NBA title a world title, but you're not. Like, you know, Spencer Lee is like, that's a true world champion. You're a true world place winner. You went, competed in a tournament where every country had all their best representatives there. And out of that, I think you got a bronze, and then you say you got a silver. So, I mean, congrats to you. Like, Little League World Series, that's a true world championship event because they come from everywhere. So, you know, congrats to you on that. Now, one of my other questions, and sometimes I get off in the litany of stuff, and I'm sorry, but one of my other questions is, you do a lot of wrestling, and all these tournaments you go to are very, very grueling. Do you ever get burnt out?
No, not really. But one of the reasons my dad didn't really push me to wrestle when I was young is because he didn't want me to burn out. Because he watched a lot of good, really good kids when they were really young just grow up. And when they got to high school, junior high school, they just didn't love the sport anymore because they were so burnt out. So my dad, he just wanted me to wait and finally I decided to wrestle, and I love wrestling, so I don't see myself getting burned out anytime soon.
Right. In the 2014 Super 32, you were in the finals, and I want to say you lost 1-0 to Yanni DeMacahales. Tell me this. You had to wrestle him in the finals of Flow Nationals. What was going through you at that time, but being that you had just lost to him?
Oh, I wanted to get that win back for sure. I think he actually beat me 3-0 at Super 32, so we got into a big scramble in that first period. He came out on top, so in the finals of Flow, I knew that he was really good at scrambling, so I just had to kind of withstand that scramble and hopefully, whenever the time was right, get my shot in and get a takedown, and that's what happened.
I saw that match, and I would probably venture to say that after that match, you probably did a lot of practice working on bottom, right?
Yeah, I did. He rode me out in the Super 32 final last year. So, getting ridden out that's something that should never happen, because it's really just a mindset. If you're down, you're not going to let this guy hold me down. So, that's one of the things I really worked on after that match.
You know, tell me a little bit, does any of this tough competition, does it have any, like, wear and tear on your body?
Not so far. I've been pretty grateful that I've stayed healthy these last couple years, so I can just, I stretch a whole lot. Couple of months, I've been stretching a whole lot more than I used to, because I started getting tight, and I just didn't want to get hurt, so I just started stretching more, and it's really helped me out a lot.
You wrestled a couple weeks ago in Flow Wrestling's Who's Number One, and you beat Rudy Yates. And after that, I saw you walk off the side of the mat to 20 or so kids asking for autographs. Tell me a little bit about that experience.
That was one of my favorite experiences about the whole Who's Number One. Was I walked off the mat and there's a big old group of kids and they were all wanting autographs. So that was awesome, just to be able to know that I'm one of the people that they look up to. So I just know that I have to keep setting a good example for them and living right and competing hard.
Well, so how do you handle because let's face it, there, you know, if you're involved in the sport of wrestling on any level, everybody knows who you are. So how do you kind of handle that celebrity status as far as being in amateur wrestling?
I just kind of live right and do the right things. You can't get caught up in what most high school students get caught up in. So you just got to think about your choices you make every day and you just got to live right.
Well, you're talking about living right. You know, a friend of mine who is one of the most successful wrestling coaches in the nation, took a school, an inner city school. The guy won 8 straight undefeated dual titles. He always tells his kid, this guy Maurice Atwood, he always tells his kids to, you have to, you know, even though you leave practice, you kind of got to live that life, you know, with the things that you put in your body. So before we went live, I asked you about, you know, you cutting weight. Like, how do you cut weight and what are some of the things that you eat to, you know, while you're cutting that kind of keeps you, keeps your body fueled for competition?
Yeah, this last summer I cut a lot of weight. So I the way I cut weight this summer was I would drink a lot of water, because that's one of the best things you can put in your body. So I was drinking like 2 gallons of water a day, just flushing my system, and I was just eating good foods for me. I wasn't going and eating a bunch of fast food or any of that. I was just eating homemade meals, fruit, vegetables, stuff that's good for you, and I just drink a whole lot of water, and that when it came time to make weight, that water would just fall off me. So that's I this summer, whenever I made 120, that I was one of the best times I've ever felt when I was drinking all that water.
Well, when you step off the scale and you go through your rehydration process, what do you drink and what do you eat?
The first thing I always drink is water, because for anybody that's ever cut weight, that's one of the things that you crave the most, is just a nice glass of water. But after I get some water in me, I always get I have Pedialyte. I love Pedialyte, and that really helps me rehydrate whenever it's time. And then whenever I get something to eat, the first thing I usually eat is just like a granola bar or something like that. And then if I have to wrestle soon, I'll get like a peanut butter sandwich or something. But if I have a little time, I'll go out and eat some pasta, and then just get ready to wrestle.
You told me that you were flying out at about 7:15 in the morning from Oklahoma to Greensboro. When you get to weigh-ins at 6 o'clock, when you wake up the next day, what's your normal weight? I mean, because it's unlike a high school tournament where you have to weigh in that morning and then you have to wrestle an hour later, you're kind of almost getting a 12-hour rehydration process. What would be your normal walk around weight after that?
I haven't made 126 in a while. I mean, I got to make 100 because who's number one, you get 5 pounds. So I made 131 for that. So I haven't been down 126 in a while. So I'm gonna just guess that I weigh. I normally walk around at like 140, anywhere from 140, 144, 145 at the most. So I'm saying I'll probably weigh 138, 140 in the morning.
Good Lord, son. But it's all good. So you do a lot of traveling across country for these big tournaments. What do you do? And a lot of people use like fundraisers like GoFundMe. How do you find the funding for your travel to compete on all these different levels?
I have a great community that really supports me and helps me out. So I actually do. I have a GoFundMe for the summer for tournaments that I wrestle in, and that's helped a lot. And then just my parents, they do as much as they can for me, and they raise a whole lot of money for me to wrestle, and I'll always be grateful for that.
You know, when I asked Spencer Lee the same question, and I'll ask you, around your school, do people really kind of know who you are? Like, do they follow you? Do they, you know, because Spencer basically told me that, I mean, he could walk around a school and nobody really even knows who he is, or, you know, he's even a state champ at his school. Like, is it the same for you? I mean, do people, I know that Oklahoma's a big wrestling state, and so is PA, but is it the same for you?
Yeah, most people know who I am just because I've grown up in this school system for my whole life. So a lot of people know who I am. I mean, all the teachers, they congratulate me whenever I do something good. But most of the students, I mean, I grew up with a lot of them. So most of them know me from just school, not really wrestling. But they've just learned throughout these last couple of years that I wrestle and stuff. So some of them keep up with it, so it's nice.
You know, how you compete, and as much as you do compete, I know it causes you to miss a lot of school. That being said, how do you handle the rigor academically with, you know, having to travel all the time? How hard is that?
It gets tough at times. You just got to, as soon as you get back, you got to get your makeup work and get those assignments done. My mom, she's always preaching about me getting my work. So she's always right there talking to me as soon as I get back, making sure I get all my work done. So it's nice.
Now, so explain to me like your, how do you handle like your relationship with your friends at the school? How often do you ever have time to like hang out with friends?
I mean, most of my friends, most of them, they wrestle, so I get to see them at practice and stuff. But the guys that don't wrestle, I hang out with them. I mean, I see them on the weekend sometimes, maybe because we have football games every Friday, so I'll see them there and stuff. So maybe once a week, twice a week, maybe, just for a couple hours.
And that's great. So how do you like do you ever run into the temptations of, like, you know, going to, you know, the little high school parties and stuff after the football game? Like, how do you handle that and the peer pressure?
Well, right now I don't even have my license, so I have my mom, or my dad pick me up from all the football games, so I don't really have to worry about that kind of stuff. And so that's kind of, I just haven't felt the need to go get my license, because right now my life, I'm focused on wrestling. So,
hey, and I think is there any, like, because I would venture to say that you want to wrestle at the next level. Is there any schools that you're looking at, or anything at this point?
Yeah, I've had some schools talk to me and contact me, just because they can finally start texting me and calling me September 1st, I think, of my junior year.
Right.
So I got a bunch of calls and stuff. Right now I'm just focused on, I still have two more years of high school wrestling, so I feel like those 2 years, I need to be focused on those 2 years right now instead of my next 4 years. So right now I'm just focused on getting better and competing.
Now, when you say you got, you know, and you don't have to name them, but is it a volume of, like, coaches? I mean, I venture to say it's a lot of coaches trying to hook you.
Yeah, I had a lot of phone calls that first day. I think I had 16, 17 coaches call me. So it was pretty crazy that first day.
How do you handle that?
That first day was crazy. So I was just on the phone all day, but it slowed down. So now only maybe a couple coaches call me once a week. So, and it's nice to get to know them, just make
right.
create a relationship with them.
Right. Have you taken any official visits yet to anywhere?
I've been on, well, I live right here in Oklahoma, so I've been to a couple OSU football games, and whenever I go to that, I'm an unofficial recruit, so I get football tickets to there. And then I've been to I went to Nebraska for an unofficial visit probably a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and that was pretty cool.
Right. You know, in my – I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've been on one other unofficial visit. I went to Ohio State last year during the Big Tens. I went, and it was pretty nice.
You know, I want to say that in my whole Instagram stalking of you to figure out, you know, information about you, I saw a picture of you on the sidelines. I want to say it was an Oklahoma game. How was that?
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, I went with my family and my friends, so that was a good experience. I only live about an hour away from Stillwater, so it's a real quick drive. And my dad wrestled at Oklahoma State, so I've kind of grown up right around always being up there.
We said you said you did like a lot of wrestling. Is there like a wrestling class at your school?
We have a seventh hour, and it's our seventh hour is our wrestling practice.
Then does that count like as a school course, or is that just?
Yeah, it's a class. It's a class you can take. So it's like a sport. Like all of our sports are our seventh hour. So football players, basketball players, they all have their practice seventh hour.
So once you do that seventh hour, there is no practice after that. That's just it?
Yeah, that's your practice. And you can, I mean, I think as soon as your season officially starts, you can practice longer than usual. I mean, you can go until 5 o'clock.
So
before then, you can only go till like 3:30 until school's out.
So let me get this straight. You actually get graded to do something you love, and you get an academic grade for it.
Yeah, I get a grade for it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What are you making in that wrestling class?
I don't know. I hope I'm making 100 right now.
Right. So we talked about all of the things that you're good at. What do you feel like that you're not so good at on the mat that you feel like you need to work on?
In folk style or collegiate wrestling, I need to get better on top. You know what I mean? Because they changed the rules just this year that if you get a four count in college that you get four back points. So that's a huge advantage for the guy on top. So I feel like I need to start getting better on top and get those, so I can get those four back points.
You know, and I'm going to ask you this because you've been involved in wrestling for a long time. And at this point, you know, I've been involved in wrestling for 17 years, but I still feel like you might could forget right now more than I know. So I want to ask you this question. Do you think that if they were to take folk style wrestling in high school and make a push out like they do in freestyle, do you think that would help the whole stalling issue?
Yeah, I think that's the cure for the stalling issue. There's too many guys that just want to go hang out on the edge, and that's not really wrestling. So, I mean, if you're just trying to hang out and keep the match close, you're not wrestling. So I feel like if there's a push-out rule, then it'll create more wrestling.
You know, and in my opinion, I believe that wrestler that plays the line is not a wrestler that's confident. And what I mean by that is he's wanting to play that line, so if he initiates something and he feels like he's getting in trouble, then he knows where he's at and he's able to kind of get over that line and kind of force a restart. And that's the only reason why I think wrestlers play the line is that they're just not confident in their ability. And they should be able to do it in the middle. If you're going to wrestle and you're going to actually do it and you're confident in your skills, you would wrestle in the middle. There's no reason. And then again, there's no reason for you to work hard for a takedown only for it to be out of bounds. So, I mean, and for whatever it is, what's some of your favorite moves to do? Like, you know, from neutral, you know, on bottom and on top, tell me a little bit.
On my feet this summer, I started hitting an inside trip, and that was something I started working on just at the start of the summer, and that's really helped me open up a bunch of other stuff in my offense. I mean, I'm more of a high cross guy. I get elbows, ducks, just stuff like that.
Yeah, and I also noticed you're pretty good at scrambling. You know, when you worked hard for that takedown against Rudy Yates in the first minute of Who's Number One. Tell me a little bit about that scramble. That Flo kind of called it scramble of the week or something.
Yeah, he got real deep on it. He kind of hit a duck and he got into my leg, and then I've been in that situation a lot. I mean, we do drills where the guys get your legs and you have to score. So whenever someone gets on your leg, you just got to stay calm. And I've been in a bunch of big scrambles, so I just got to this far ankle, rolled under, and got height, and just got up to my feet and turned back into him and got the takedown.
What are some things that you do currently in your training that are keys to your success?
I've been really working on a bunch of counter offense and scoring from the outside, because a lot of guys, they don't really tie up. They're trying to back up, use the edge, so I'm not going to get to tie up with them a whole bunch. So just scoring from the outside and getting them down, getting snap downs, getting them in front of me so I can score from there. And then just a bunch of conditioning, just going on runs every night, making sure that you're working harder than everybody else.
What are your goals long-term in this sport?
I want to be an Olympic gold medalist. That's the peak of wrestling, so that's where I want to be.
And you know, you're most certainly on your way towards that. What are like one or two things that you do that makes you different from everyone else?
I work hard in the room, and I don't like to lose. I'll do anything to win, no matter what I'm doing. I'll beat my little brother in a game of tic-tac-toe. I'll try as hard as I can. I don't want to lose. I hate losing. That's one of the worst feelings in the world whenever you know that someone's better than you. So that kind of drives me to be the best.
Oh, so where is it that you just draw the inspiration from to do all this, to just be, to be the best?
I have great supporters in my mom and dad. They say that if you have a goal, then you work towards that goal and do whatever you can to achieve that goal.
Out of all the wrestling that you've done, out of every opponent that you've wrestled, who can you say has been your toughest match to date?
My toughest match to date. I don't know. I've wrestled a bunch of great competitors in the practice room and in live matches. So I don't know if I could pick a hardest match, but I love competition, and I love whenever I get to wrestle someone that's a really skilled wrestler. That's a lot of fun whenever you get to go out there and scrap.
Is there anything that what's been like maybe your biggest disappointment?
Probably this summer. I came back and got a bronze medal, but I was really, really hoping to win a world title this summer, and I was wrestling in the quarterfinals against the Russian, and I was winning 2-2. I got the only takedown in the match. He had 2 pushouts, and with about 15 seconds left, the official called me for fleeing the hold, and then I couldn't go get another takedown. So that was a big disappointment in my wrestling career. But I learned from it, and I'm going to make sure that never happens again.
Dayton, you realize you got a bronze medal in a world competition, right?
Yeah, I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to come back and show that I was a better wrestler than I wrestled that match.
It's great, and it's great that you set those high expectations for yourself. You kind of like the kid out of a scale of 2400 SAT, you get mad if you made like a 2300 because you wanted the 24. You know, that's great. Yeah, that's great that you want to set those kind of standards, because those are how you become a champion. If you wasn't wrestling, what would you be doing? What would you be doing if you wasn't wrestling?
I have no idea what I'd be doing. I grew up playing a bunch of different sports. I played baseball, I played football. I've run cross country. I've done a bunch of stuff, and I don't know what I'd be doing if I wasn't wrestling. I just feel like wrestling, that's a sport I love, and I couldn't see myself playing any other sport.
So then, do you have any hobbies? Like, what do you fish? Do you hunt? What do you do? You know, when you do want to take a little bit of a break from wrestling.
Whenever I'm just on a break, I usually just hang out with my family, because during the summertime I'm gone a lot, so I don't get to see them as much as I'd like to. And I'm getting to the end of my high school years, so I'm not going to be able to be around them as much as I usually am. So whenever I have free time, I just want to spend as much time with them as possible.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. Like, what are some things that you think people would want to know about you that they don't know?
I have a pretty big family. I have 2 brothers and 2 sisters. And those guys, they keep me happy. They make sure I laugh every day. Even if I'm upset about something, they know how to turn me around pretty quick. So I don't know. I could not see myself being like an only child. I don't know how kids are that are only child. I don't know how they handle it, because if I'd get so bored if I didn't have my little brother, little sister just coming up to me and messing with me. So it's just, it's always a lot of fun at my house.
Tell me a little bit about the impact that your dad and Coach Kelly Smith has had on you at the Charles Page High School.
They've had a big impact. They make sure I'm working hard in practice. My dad, he's been my coach ever since I started. He quit officiating so he could coach me, and that was pretty big for him. And he's just always helping me. We don't talk about wrestling all the time, but if there's something going on with wrestling, we usually chat about it a little bit. And it's nice that he's right here with me every day, so if I ever got to ask him anything, he's there.
Is he listening to this interview?
I'm not sure. He went out to eat, so he might be listening to it while he's eating.
Right. What's the best advice that you've been given that's kind of helped you in this sport?
The best advice I've received is probably just find someone that'll push you in practice. Because if you're wrestling guys that you're beaten by 50 every day, then you're not going to get any better. So just going out and finding guys that will push you and make sure you get better.
Have you wrestled, and I don't want to say maybe in an actual competition, but maybe just, live in a practice room. Have you wrestled like D1 college competition? And if so, how did you fare?
Yeah, I wrestled some D1 guys. I can scrap with them. I wrestled this summer. I wrestled 3 Division I wrestlers at the UWW Junior Nationals in Vegas, and I won all 3 of those matches, and that was an awesome experience.
That's cool. I saw some of that, man. I saw that old Kyle Snyder, man. That dude's a killer.
Oh yeah, he's awesome. I've gotten pretty close with him this summer because I was up at the Olympic Training Center and he was up there training for Worlds, and I just got to talk to him a whole lot, and it was really cool just to watch him win that world title.
Yeah, it's crazy because like I looked at like some of the that follow you on your social media, and you get followed by like a lot of like great D1 wrestlers, all Americans, and it's crazy that like that you get that attention, but you've gotten that attention just because you work hard and you've been good at what you do. That being said, since I mentioned social media, if somebody wanted to follow you throughout your success as a wrestler, what social media networks are you on, and how can they find you? What's your screen name to them?
My Instagram is @_greatest_ever_, and then my Twitter is @_greatest_ever1. So those are my two. Those are the two main things I get on.
What made you think of the screen name Greatest Ever? Did you make it because it sounds good, or do you really believe you are the greatest ever?
No, not so much that I believe that I am right now, but that's something I want to be the greatest ever. I feel like that's one of the highest things you can be. If people think about wrestling, I want them to think about Dayton Fix. I want them to know that I was one of the greatest wrestlers to ever live. So that's one of my goals, is work hard and make sure people remember my name.
Because of the fame that you've received in this sport, do you consider yourself like a pretty approachable person?
Yeah, I'm an approachable person. I could have anybody could come over and talk to me, and I could have a normal conversation. I could talk about anything. If you came up to me and talked to me, the conversation would probably be more about you than it is about me. That's just the kind of person I am.
I know you get them, so I need to know how you deal with them. How do you deal with haters, man?
I just I got a lot of doubt this summer. Just before the cadet trials, I had a lot of people. They didn't think that I could go out and compete against Mitchell the way I did, and I just let that kind of motivate me. And I got a shirt made that said "Don't doubt me," and that was just my kind of thing for that this summer. Just if you're gonna doubt me, then that's just gonna motivate me anymore to go do what I need to do.
That was verbatim what you said in that interview after you beat Spencer Lee. Because if I want to say that was the voice of Mark Bader, was that him to interview you after that match?
No, I think it was Zeb Miller.
Okay, well, he said that he doubted that you could like beat Spencer Lee, and I saw your demeanor you'll never do that again. That was like on your face, like you'll never doubt me again. And then you proceeded to say what you just told me, that, you know, hey, that motivates me.
Yeah.
But that was great, man. I watched that match. I watched both of them. You know, of course, when I wanted to have you on here, I immediately go look at like all the best matches that people talk about. And it kind of gives me a feel for you as a person who I'm interviewing. Now, of course, we got the Super 32 this weekend. How have you prepared for it?
I just prepare for every tournament the same. I never take anything for granted. I know that there's people out there that they want to come beat me because I'm on top right now. So I just know that I got to take every match like it's the finals, every match, like it's my last match. I gotta go out there and wrestle hard and just have fun and score, put a lot of points on the board.
Oh, bro, you got a big target on your back. There ain't no doubt. How have you prepared like for anything specific in practice? Is there that certain person that you feel like you're gonna meet up with, you know, in your quest toward winning this tournament that you kind of had to prepare for some things for?
There's a lot of kids that are in the tournament that are going to give me a match. They're going to come out there and fight. So I'm ready for anybody right now. I know that I had Nick Serrano, he signed up, and I had that 30-minute marathon match with him. And that's a match that I want to get back. So that match is still in the back of my head. Every time I go into the practice room, I think about that match. And that's something that I want to get some redemption, you know?
Let me digress a little bit. I've heard about that 30-minute match. Man, how was your conditioning for that?
I after about 15 minutes, I got really tired. And then we got into a big flurry, and we went out of bounds, and then I just got a burst of energy, and I just kind of got past the point of being tired. And I got through the rest of the match, and I was in a lot of shots, and I didn't finish. So this time around, when I get to my shots, I'm going to make sure I finish.
Back on the Super 32 this weekend, do you anticipate having any close matches with anyone, or do you feel like you can kind of dominate the field all the way up to you get to like the last couple matches to go to the finals?
I just try to score a bunch of points. So if I'm ever in a close match, I can get through it. I mean, I can. I don't want to say I'm going to hang on to the lead because that's not the type of wrestler I am. I'm going to keep trying to score the whole time. So if I ever get in a close match, I'm going to keep wrestling. Just if people are going to try to keep it close, then that's just how they're going to wrestle. One thing I can do is just keep looking to score points.
Right. What do you anticipate is going to be your biggest challenge in this tournament?
I'm not really looking towards anybody. I just got to take one match at a time, and whoever's in my way, that's who I'm going to have to wrestle. So that's how I'm going to approach this tournament.
I do understand that. Here's a question, you know, that I just love to ask everybody. It's a question you've probably never been asked before. If you could pick two people living or dead, to have dinner with, who would it be and why?
Two people to have dinner with, living or dead. Who would it be? Oh, gosh.
Gotti.
Two people. I'm going to do one living and one dead.
All right.
I would probably have dinner with... It's actually, this is a really hard question. Living, probably. I mean, I want to have dinner with someone that's really successful, so someone that knows how to win. So I'd like to have dinner with like someone like Michael Jordan, just someone that's he went through a lot of adversity and found a way to win a lot of times. So probably him, and then someone that's dead. Let's see. I'm not sure who I'd pick. I'd probably have a dinner with an athlete. So probably someone like the whole dang.
You know what?
That's a really hard question.
It is, and it's funny because I asked that to a wrestler I was interviewing, and he said the dead person would be Dave Schultz.
Yeah, that's probably who I would. I'd love to have dinner with Dave Schultz. That would be awesome. I heard a bunch of stories about Dave, and that he was an awesome guy. And that really sucks what happened to him. But I would love to talk to him and just pick his mind about wrestling.
Right. Do you you mentioned, and Michael Jordan. Are you good at basketball? Do you try to play it like just to mess around, maybe just to kind of get a little workout in without actually having to drill? Are you good at it? Most wrestlers aren't. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I'm not the best at basketball, but I can. If I get on a streak, I can make some shots. I got to play basketball this summer. We played with a bunch of wrestlers, and it was pretty fun. We got to play with the world, like the senior world team and stuff. So it was pretty cool.
You know, I always say that no basketball game that wrestlers play end up being a basket, to stay in a basketball game for too long.
It's a lot more physical than a basketball game.
So somebody's going to the ground, as a kid. And I know you may or you may not. Do you keep up with politics?
Somewhat. I mean, I just catch what's on TV every once in a while.
What do you think about this whole Donald Trump deal?
I mean, he's an aggressive guy. If he's chosen as our president, he's gonna get something done. He's a character. I don't really know what to say about him.
Here lately, the thing that I like about Donald Trump is like he says what he says and he means what he says and he will not apologize about it. That's what I like. Like, I mean, he's not going to apologize if he believes in his heart that and his beliefs and he's saying the right thing. I've always been a Democrat, but just the things that he's saying is kind of making me steer toward him. But, at the top part of this interview, when I had you on mute, you heard me talk about that situation in South Carolina in that classroom. You familiar with that? Did you hear about that?
I heard about it, but I haven't got to see the video.
Right. The problem is, man, at Dayton, and it's hard for teachers to teach these days. Like, you walking around school, have you seen that one, like, disruptive student that should be kicked out, is always getting in trouble? Like, do you see that a lot at your school, or is it, like, kind of a rural kind of school where you don't really get that as much?
I saw it more in junior high just because kids are more immature, but when we got up to high school, it wasn't nearly as bad.
What do you say the demographics of your school is? Like, white, black, other. Do you know what the demographics of your school is?
There's a lot more. White's definitely the majority. So, I mean, but there's some African-Americans in our school for sure. I mean, I don't know what the ratio is, but.
Right. I understand that. So, yeah, I was kind of, because when I think of Oklahoma and I think of Midwest, I just think like rural area with like perfectly cut square like front yards. Because you know I've flown over Oklahoma and that's all I've seen was just perfectly cut square front yards and farm. So I'm just kind of thinking, you know, your school is kind of out in a rural area. Well. I'm not going to take any more of your time. Do you have anything else you want to share?
No, I just want to thank everybody that always supports me, and if everybody ever needs anything, I'm here. You can reach out to me, and I'll try to reach back to you if you got any questions for me. And just thanks for listening.
You know, Dayton, I got to say it, because now. You guys, you can send them a text message, but you might not get a response until like maybe 3 days later. But I mean, it's all good though, because I got to tell a story, man. It was an act of Congress, you guys, to get in touch with this kid. Like what I did was, and I got his number from like for somebody that he wrestled in competition. Send him a text message, and I get a text message like, I'll call you after practice. Yeah, I got whatever 7 block, whatever practice is. Well, the kid never called me, and I'm like literally sending him like text message after text message. But he finally got back to me. Like he's on the show, he got back to me. So I really can't get on too much. And Dayton, man, I appreciate you taking your time out to you know sit down and do this interview with me.
Yeah, anytime. If you ever want to have me back on, I'd be happy to do it.
You know, I will, you know, at some point I might bring you on as actually like a co-host where you can kind of help me, you know, ask, you know, questions to other wrestlers. But before I let you go, what advice can you give to the kids that were in your spot, like, you know, five, 6 years ago that are trying to inspire to be like you?
I'm just I'd give them advice that I got told to me, was just to grab the best guy in the room. Grab the guy that you know you probably won't beat, the guy that's going to push you the most. That's how you're going to get better. You got to go find the best competition, and you just got to push yourself every day, and you'll get there.
All right. Well, I'm going to wrap it up. Once again, thank you for being on the show, man. And I look forward to meeting you tomorrow. You know, hopefully you don't have that whole, like, kind of weight cut, get away from me attitude that everybody gets. But,
no,
you know,
I'm not like that.
Yeah. And one other thing, man, I actually like, and I, even though I keep trying to say I'm going to let you go, but it just stuff keeps popping up. What I actually noticed about you is that it's how you take losing, like, and I know you're upset, but I've never at once seen you like show your ass out there. Like now you might go back in the locker room and probably, you know, probably start all sorts of hell and throw stuff, but nobody sees that. You know, I like how you handle yourself. I like how you handle yourself losing. In a tough competition, you know, you shake the guy's hand and you simply walk off the mat. And that's what I want wrestlers who are, you know, wanting to be successful to get out of it. There's going to be times where stuff doesn't go your way and you're going to lose. And it's all about how you handle losing. And I actually, Dayton, it's easy to, walk, you know, with your head up, your chest up when you're winning. You know, it's easy to do, but I think most college coaches, they base their decisions off whether they want to sign you or not, on how you could take adversity, how do you do when things aren't going so well, and how you handle losing. So, you know, you handle your wins and losses pretty well, and you know, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you being a positive example to the kids in this sport of wrestling. And again, thanks for being on the show. I look forward to meeting you tomorrow, man, and good luck in a Super 32.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Everybody, that was Dayton Fix. Like I said, this dude's a two-time state champion from Oklahoma. From what I could gather, just by interviewing with him, he seems to be a great kid. But when I went to pick him to do this interview, I posted the interview link on the Oklahoma Wrestling Forum, the North Carolina Wrestling Forum, on Twitter. He tweeted it out and retweeted. So I got like direct messages and private messages from a lot of people, and none of it, I mean, absolutely none of it was negative, as it pertained to this, to this kid, Dayton Fix, a champion, not only a national champion, but you know, he's good on the world level. Like, I mean, that's something to be had when you can sit back and say, I am one of the best wrestlers in the world. The world. And you know how big the world is, guys. I mean, and this guy's on like a whole different level. Guys like him, Spencer Lee, Yanni DeMacahales, Nick Soriano, like those guys are on totally different levels, and it's like they aspire to be great, and you gotta love that. You simply have to love that, and they run into each other all the time at these tournaments. Like they're always wrestling one another, you know, and it Spencer Lee may be Dayton Fix at this tournament. Dayton Fix may beat him in that tournament. Spencer Lee might lose to Nick Soriano at this tournament. Nick Soriano might, you know, lose to him at this tournament. And they do this all the time. And they just keep after the grind. And I just – that it simply amazes me. I am a Dayton Fix fan. I am a Spencer Lee fan. And I'm going to be the first one to tell you, When I do see this kid tomorrow, I'm gonna say, hey, can I take a picture with you? I ain't gonna front. I'm a fan, and that's what I'm gonna do. And you know, because I like to see a kid that's worked hard to be successful, and because you got to understand, none of this stuff was handed to him, and he's worked hard to get where he's going to be at. So he deserves all the support that he could get, all those guys. You know, if Dayton Fix has to go across seas to a tournament, hit up his GoFundMe account, man. Even if it ain't but $20, it's $20 that he didn't have, and I'm pretty sure he would probably appreciate it. But I want to thank everyone for listening to this interview. And once again, you can follow Access Radio Live on Twitter at Access Radio Live. Find Access Radio Live on Facebook. At some point in the next couple weeks, I'm going to have a good friend of mine, Maurice Atwood, who is the head wrestling coach at West Forsyth High School, Clements, North Carolina. I mentioned a little bit in the show to Dayton that this guy actually holds the national win streak for dual meets won as a head coach. And about a month ago, USA Wrestling actually flew him out to the Olympic Training Center to talk to him about some stuff. But I can't wait for that interview because I'm going to pick Coach Atwood's brain, you know, just about wrestling. And if you follow, and if you're friends with Maurice Atwood on Facebook, we're most certainly going to talk about politics. And, you know, I am very much so looking forward to that interview. So, and even though he's my friend, it's going to be no hold bar. We're going to talk about everything, you know, and he's going to be there to answer every single question. And he's not going to dodge questions. You know, I'm going to bring up everything that's everybody that people have alleged that he's ever done, and we're going to make this an actual interview. I'm not holding back. You know, Maurice Atwood's a professional enough to know how to answer questions professionally, and he'll be truthful. On the contrary to popular belief, he's not the guy that some of you think is. He's not a liar. He goes by the book, and what he wants to do is see kids coming to his program and leave out being the best that they can be, not only as a wrestler, but in life. And that's what we're going to talk about. And I'm liable to probably have our interview probably at an hour plus, because we're going to talk. So, anyways, that's it for tonight. Thanks for joining and listening to this week's episode of Access Radio Live. My name's Ryan Hayes. You have a good night, everyone. And please come to if you're in the Greensboro, North Carolina area this weekend, please come watch the Super 32. I want to add that Dave Barker, who started that tournament over 10 years ago, him and a woman by the name of Sarah Koning, they've done a great job with this tournament. It went from having 200 wrestlers in it to over thousands of wrestlers in it. And that's a tournament that has been built over time. And that's helped wrestling tremendously in North Carolina. So I want to publicly thank those two, Sarah Koning and David Barker, for what you guys do for North Carolina wrestling. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to being in attendance. I'm looking forward to coaching in it. And I can't wait to watch 2 days of tough, grueling wrestling competition. And this is Ryan Hayes, and good night, everyone.